Hey, what is going on with y'all, man? It's Black Malone, and I'm coming back with another video, so y'all already know what's going on. All right, y'all. So as y'all can see by what's on the screen, today we're here to talk about the PCAT dolls. I'ma say it like that in the beginning of this video, just for YouTube guidelines. You just never know with this platform. I had somebody under the last video with Cassie and Diddy. They requested for me to do this one. Now, I figure it would be the perfect time to go ahead and do the video because, you know, it falls right in line with what we've been talking about and how, you know, the industry creates sometimes these sex slaves, you know, whether or not the women that are involved, they agree to it, you know, it's done regardless. You know, some of them come into the game not knowing what is actually going on, but eventually they accept it because they know they have to kind of sell sex in order to further advance their music. But then it goes a little bit deeper because, like the PCAT dolls, which you could just tell by their name, you know, it goes a little bit too into programming, like the beta sex kitten programming, which I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard that term and you might have seen videos on it before in the past, especially when YouTube was like the glory days of exposing this industry stuff, like early 2010, so on and so on, right? So we're going to get into a little bit of that in this video. We're also going to talk a little bit about the lead singer because, you know, she kind of explained her story that, you know, when she came into the group, she didn't actually like what was actually going on, but she said that she was forced to accept it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Also going to talk and show a clip with Kaya Jones. Now, I don't have too many clips for this video. I don't want to make it that long. Just wanted to cover the topic, go into it a little bit more while, you know, we're discussing this kind of stuff about Hollywood and the industry and how it's just a whole casting couch industry, right? So I figured this would be a good video to kind of extend the topic, go a little bit deeper with the beta sex kitten programming. And yeah, man, we'll touch on those few topics. So look, for this first clip, we'll just go ahead and check out some of the things that Kaya Jones has said about Hollywood and about being in a group. Then I'm going to read from this article. Now, if you don't know, Kaya Jones is a former member of the PCAT Dolls. She bowed out before they completed their first debut album. So a lot of y'all may not know of her, but a lot of her, you know, exposing has been publicized a lot. So we'll check out this first clip, then get into the article. So check this out.
Kaya, how old were you when you first got into music?
I was 12 when I first got signed.
Wow. And how quickly did the Predators begin to move in?
Well, I think that's the thing. They didn't move in right away for me. I didn't receive anything until I was 18 years old and I joined the Pussycat Dolls. So I think had I not had a career before that, where I knew that there are people with integrity, it wouldn't have probably been alarming, but it was super alarming because I had been in the business and never had any advances.
And when you say is a prostitution ring, those are strong words. People want to understand this.
Oh, well, you know, when you have a den mother from hell that's controlling the girls, manipulating the mind, and verbally and mentally abusive, what's the difference between that and a pimp in order to control the narrative? That's what was done on a day-to-day basis by Miss Anton. And furthermore, you know, it was a constant thing of being, you know, attacked at the back of cars and innuendos by different executives. She knew, and everyone in the group went through it.
In other words, you were attacked by those people that had all the power over you, and it was on a regular basis.
Yeah, and yeah. I had to decide for myself my moral compass. I walked away at 21 years old from a massive conglomerate that was launching us into orbit. How bad could it be for a 21-year-old to walk away from her dreams?
All right, y'all. So I found a good article online that pretty much sums up everything that Kaya Jones talked about as far as exposing Hollywood and the industry. Now it says, she was an ex-member of the Pussycat Dolls and claims that members were passed around by music industry executives. Kaya Jones was discovered by R. Kelly when she was 13 years old and was signed to Capitol Records by the age of 16. Now, with that being said alone, that raises, you know, a lot of red flags because it seems like R. Kelly had a role of, like, recruiting and, you know, signing girls that were very young. We also know, you know, the most notable being Aaliyah. R. Kelly, you know, in a sense, discovered both of them at a very young age. Now, I don't know if R. Kelly was the very first to discover Aaliyah, but we all know that whole situation with him. I've done a couple of videos talking about it as far as Aaliyah goes. Now, in 2003, she auditioned and was selected to become a part of the girl group, the Pussycat Dolls. She then moved to Interscope Records under the tutelage of music producer Jimmy Iovine. Now, she also went at Jimmy Iovine as well, because for those that don't know, he's been a very famous, you know, and behind the scenes type of music producer at Interscope Records for a very long time. I think he's one of the heads at Interscope, if I'm not mistaken, and he's been, you know, he's been a gatekeeper for a long time in the industry. Even, you know, way back in the 90s, it's been going on with Jimmy Iovine for a long time, too. So it says only 2 years later, Jones left the group while it was still recording his debut album, claiming that it was no longer fun to be in the band. She went on Twitter and she had a lot of things to say, because a lot of people came out when that whole Harvey Weinstein thing was going on. I'm not sure if this was some kind of an agenda or if people started to feel comfortable because someone in Hollywood was actually being accused and things were coming to the light. Because she said, please, Hollywood, start telling the truth. Expose the truth. It's time for a new Hollywood. She also said, I know as many men as I do women who have been abused in the entertainment industry by Hollywood elites. Now, that makes me think about Terry Crews.
Any memories for you?
Oh, the best word you just said there was trigger. It was a trigger. First of all, when I read the Ronan Farrow story about all the women who had been, you know, sexually abused and harassed by Harvey Weinstein, I said, my God, the only way I could really phrase it was PTSD. Mm-hmm. And people were like, well, not PTSD. But when I say trigger, it was like, wait a minute. That's me. That happened to me.
Yeah.
And one thing I love about what's happening right now is that typically this has always been looked at as a women's issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so guys are like, yeah, you know, this is a women's issue, the whole thing. But what happens is, with me, you are forced to look at this not 2D, but now it's 3D.
Because Terry Crews said when that Harvey Weinstein thing happened that it gave him PTSD, because in 2016 at some kind of award show or award dinner, he was groped on by a Hollywood exec that he didn't want to name in fear of what would happen afterwards. He said he didn't want to be a 240-pound black guy that beat him up and it'd be all in the stories and he'd go to jail the next day. And he said this guy grabbed his penis in front of him and his wife with a smirk. And then the guy later apologized but never said why he actually did it in the first place. And that came from Terry Crews, guy that played in the NFL. You know, he went on three stints with, I think, three different teams in the NFL. So this is a big guy, like, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, not afraid of much. But, you know, it kind of makes me think about why, you know, a lot of this stuff came out at that time. You know, you had that whole Me Too movement going on and stuff, and it's not to dismiss any of these people's stories being true. But like I said, maybe a lot of people felt comfortable coming out at that time and telling their story because it was going viral. And she also went along to say, Kaya Jones, that the group was actually a prostitution ring. She said, my truth, I wasn't in a girl group. I was in a prostitution ring. And we just happened to sing and be famous while everyone who owned us made the money, which sounds like most of the industry in general. The label heads, some of your handlers, producers, they're your pimps. And in a sense, you're their hoe, you know, because you do everything they tell you to do and they make all the money and they give you a little bit of chunk of change and they tell you to keep working. At the end of the day, it's pretty much how it is. Now, this is the Lady Robin. She was the founder of the Pussycat Dolls. She also had that title, Hollywood Madame, a title that was basically, it comes from associated with Heidi Fleece, someone who ran a massive escort operation during the 1990s. And I guess it kind of gives you an idea of what kind of woman she is, you know, because at the same time, it's not always a man who is, you know, doing this kind of stuff, having control over women and, you know, being these elites and making them do whatever with all this abuse and, you know, keeping track of their bodies and shaming them and this and that. It's women a lot of the times as well in the industry because they abuse their power and they do it just as worse as a man would to a group of girls. And it seems like she could have had that kind of, you know, thing going on around her because she started multiple girl groups and a girl committed suicide that was under her because of being depressed about financial issues. And Kaya Jones, it was said it was because of the mental stress that those girls went through, even though that was in 2014. Now, also, it goes on to say that Nicole Scherzinger, one that everyone knows when they think about the Pussycat Dolls, she said herself that this is such a tough industry. You know, to make it, you really have to sell your soul to the devil. And remember, I was saying that her goal, you know, her dreams was to be like Whitney Houston. She wanted to sing, but she was like, she was forced to be in that type of group and wear those kind of clothes and be, you know, provocative and be a part of the Pussycat Dolls when that was never really her intentions. It goes on to say that the group name is Pussycat Dolls, a name that clearly refers to beta kitten programming. Beta programming is all about creating sex slaves to be used by the elite. This goes back to Cassie. All of this stuff ties in together. Says Kaya Tweets described this specific situation, and I wouldn't be surprised if members were pushed into a light version of the MKUltra to achieve these aims. Now, this is kind of a quick description of what beta programming actually is. It says beta is referred to as sexual programming, as in slaves. This programming eliminates all learned moral convictions and stimulates the primitive instinct, devoid of inhibitions. Cat alters may come out of this level. Known as kitten programming, it is the most visible kind of programming, as some female celebrities, models, actresses, and singers have been subjected to this kind of programming. In popular culture, clothing with feline prints often denotes kitten programming. And it goes on to say in a recent interview with The Independent, Nicole Scherzinger, the former lead singer of Pussycat Dolls, discussed the music industry and what is truly needed to make it. According to her, female pop stars who receive industry love must obey orders, forget about their values, and accept to be slutty. It's exactly what I said in the beginning of this video. Basically sell your soul. In short, they must be willing participants of the elite's agenda. To make it, you really have to sell your soul to the devil. Then it goes on to say, it was indeed a record company created group that was designed to use sex to sell catchy pop tunes. Scherzinger apparently did not like what the Pussycat Dolls were about, but she joined anyway, stating she didn't have a choice. My first response when I was invited to join was, no way, I come from a strong religious background and I had a very conservative upbringing. So I was nervous and confused. Here I was wanting to be Whitney Houston, so why did I have to dress in lingerie to do that? I didn't get it. To be honest with you, I sometimes wish I were more slutty. I'd probably be a lot more successful if I were. This is such a tough industry, you know? And she said, did she sell her soul to the devil? She said, no, I haven't. That's probably why I haven't quite reached the top of my mountain. I mean, where's my Tony Award, my Grammy, my Oscar? Why don't I have any of those things yet? Now, to end this video off, we'll go a little bit more into beta sex kitten programming. Now it says the dark occultists who run the entertainment industry utilize fashion as a means of occult communication to others in the know, indicating through symbolism the individuals they have under their control as literal sex slaves. Animal print clothing is employed for this method of communication as it symbolizes the uninhibited or wild instincts brought out in the slave via Project Monarch's beta or sex kitten programming, and when triggered, will perform any action or sex act required by the handler. Kind of reminds me of Cardi B when she was going on that rant when she first got on too. I know they put her through it as well because she wore a lot of animal print clothing in the beginning, same with Nicki Minaj. And they're definitely used as, you know, they sell sex in order to sell their music. It's the same with the young girl Ice Spice. They're doing the same introduction with her. Literally, you could see it graduate over time. You know, at first she was just, you know, twerking, and now they damn near telling her to take her clothes off. This form of mind control essentially destroys the sacred feminine within the female victim, turning them into nothing more than a piece of meat to be used and abused by the handler at any given time. Women, however, are not the only gender who suffer from this form of programming, as many men who have undergone monarch programming signify beta programming via the animal print clothing they wear. The following pages primarily cover the female victims of beta programming, but if you do an image search for male celebrities, you will find more well-known men and young adults wearing animal print clothing. Sometimes fashion trends have a deeper and darker symbolic significance. A lot of y'all that may have never heard of this stuff may think like, oh wow, so just because somebody's wearing animal print means they're going through a whole bunch of MKUltra. But y'all, this stuff is deep. Like, these people are a part of an industry that's famous where everything is controlled and operated by, you know, another hand. You know, sometimes to the point where, you know, even a person that's going through it don't actually really know what they're representing. That's why I said it's kind of like a mind alter. You know, it's kind of like they use this stuff to split the personality. So when they're triggered to be this type of sex slave, you know, or them regular selves, they can't really differentiate from either or, if that makes sense. But here's a couple of examples of it here. You got Jessica Alba, Pamela Anderson, Jennifer Aniston down here at the right. You know, it's like once you start to pay attention to it, you'll notice it. It'll start to make sense a lot more. And these are a lot of actresses. You know, all of these Hollywood people go through it, man. This guy in the middle, that's kind of wild. You got Justin Bieber, Russell Brand, Kevin Hart, Jaden Smith, which was a minor at the time, Kanye. We just talked about Jaden Smith. We already know, you know, he was put through all the industry rituals. Chris Brown, CeeLo, Michael Jackson. They've all done it. Wiz Khalifa, Bruno Mars, Harry Styles, Steven Tyler. Yeah, you just have to ask yourself, you know, is this really just something they all like to wear at some point, or is it really a lot deeper than what you think? Because I'll tell you right now, you know, this really is a lot for women. Women wear, you know, you catch a regular woman on the street might be wearing something like this, but think about it. You don't see a lot of men in your everyday life in cheetah skin, print, cat print, whatever you want to call this. You don't see it that much. I'm not saying you're going to see these artists wear it all the time, but it mostly happens when they're first introduced into the industry. This is what we get. So yeah, man. Like I said, I wasn't going to make this video too long. Just wanted to get on here and discuss the topic. If I missed anything, be sure to let me know in the comments. Really hope y'all enjoyed that video. As always, let me know what y'all want to see in the future. And yeah, man, I really appreciate all the love that I constantly get on this channel. Y'all always coming through, pulling up, watching the videos. And, you know, I couldn't appreciate it any more than what I do, man. So with that being said, it's Black Balloon, and I'm going to see y'all soon. I'm out.